Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show, the podcast that brings you the most inspiring and thought-provoking conversations each and every week. I'm your host, Hollis Chapman, and I am thrilled to have you join us on this exhilarating journey. On this show, we delve into the minds of visionaries, change makers, and trailblazers from all walks of life, from authors, entrepreneurs to athletes, artists, activists, and even astronauts. We leave no stone unturned in our quest to inspire and empower our listeners. Our guests are not just your average run-of-the-mill celebrities. They're individuals who have overcome the odds, shattered barriers, and achieved phenomenal success. They share their secrets, successes, and even their failures, so you can learn from their journeys and apply their wisdom to your own life. Whether we're diving into personal development, authors, new novels, entrepreneurship, mental health, social justice, or the latest scientific breakthroughs, our discussions are always thought-provoking, challenging conventional wisdom, and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. But it's not just the guests that make this show special, it's you, the listeners. Your engagement, questions, and comments fuel every episode. We live for the hub moments, the goosebumps, and the inspiring breakthroughs that happen when we come together as a community. So grab your headphones, get ready for a mind-expanding experience, because on the Hollis Chapman Show, we believe that everyone has a story worth telling and a dream worth pursuing. Our mission is to inspire you to take that first step towards your own greatness. Mark your calendar, set your alarm, because every Tuesday and Friday a new episode drops, ready to empower, educate, and entertain you. Join us on this magnificent adventure, and together, let's unlock our limitless potential. Welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show.
Hello and welcome to the Hollis Chapman Show. Happy Tuesday to everyone. I hope everything's going well where you're at here in Tempe, Arizona, about 70 degrees out at 10 o'clock in the morning. So we're coming up to our hot days here in Arizona. But again, we take the bad and the good. The hot days of Arizona is part of the badness, okay? Okay, so we're waiting our connection with our guest. Hopefully he calls in, because, you know, say you work 50 years in a career. You're a microbiologist, you're a chemist, you're an entrepreneur. 50 years. I think it's time to sit there and say, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to take a cruise and relax a little bit. I'm done. No, our special guest, what he's done, he's paying four books. You know, you're here to talk about his latest book, so hopefully he calls in and let us know how he's doing. But four books at the age of 87 and beyond. Beautiful. You know, I do the podcast. I do things like this that I know I can do at any age. I'm very excited. Hey, Don, I see that you're in the listening mode. Check your email.
All
right. Oh, there you go. Hey,
Don, how you doing, sir? I'm here, Hollis. I'm very excited. This is my first podcast ever, so I'm a complete novice. You'll have to train me. You'll have to train me as we go along.
You're wonderful. Hey, if you can write four books after 87, you can do anything, my friend.
So you read my autobiography. I didn't start until I was 80. Isn't that weird?
That is wonderful. Hey, okay, let me just hold on 1 second now.
Sure.
Hey, since you came on a little later, I've already talked a little bit about you, but I want to go back and talk more about you. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, hold on 1 second. Just kind of listen in. Okay, so we're very excited to have our special guest here. Like I said, he had 50 years working as a microbiologist, chemist, entrepreneur. Then, you know, he hung up his boots. He sat there and said, okay, I'm going to relax a little bit. But not like most of us, when he's relaxing, he's writing books. You know, so he's here to talk about his latest books. Let's welcome to his show. They're very young. They're very energetic. They're very excited. Mr. Don Johnson. There you go, Don. Now you're here.
Thank you very much, Hollis. Well, it was kind of weird that I started writing that late, but I guess when I retired, I had nothing else to do. And now that I'm writing, I'm not going to stop. I have several others lined up. But today, I'm excited about my latest book, By Means of Peace, because I wrote it to coincide with the current presidential election. And a little bit about it, it's in the future, 2148. There's a highly charismatic third party candidate wins the presidency. During his first term, he brings peace to the Mideast. He stares down Russia and China and solves a crisis at our southern border. So at that point, he's viewed as a political messiah, and he secures his second term by acclamation. At that point, he rises to the position of world dictator. But multiple problems began to occur. Now, most Americans still trust the president because of his early success, but some suspect that he is using problems as tools to control them. And this story unfolds through the lives of a young Houston couple. They just met, they fall in love, and they're struggling to maintain the relationship amid a big political, a lot of chaos. And so Kirkus Reviews calls it a chilling futuristic tale of freedom lost. So that's a real brief outline of it.
That's beautiful. That really is. Now, what gives a person, because I know me, I'm in my 60s. As I get older, I get set my ways. I got routines I got to do and don't do and stuff like that. Now that you're writing and you're doing certain things, you're researching for your books and stuff, what gives you the energy, the get up and do things at an age where most of us is sitting there, okay, I'm calming down. What do you think gives you that drive to do the great things you're doing now?
I started kind of as almost therapy. I retired shortly before I was 80, and my wife died of cancer almost the same time. And there I was. I was a widower with nothing to do. And a friend suggested I started writing. You could say it was therapy at first, but it's not anymore. I love to do it. And it gets me up every morning to start writing. And actually, I'm for 87. I'm in pretty good physical condition. I walk 2 miles 3 times a week, but I set aside time for writing about 2 or 3 hours a day. I'm not a fast writer, though. I write very slowly. But I get about 200 words in a day. That's pretty good for me. Yeah. But I still have the zest for life, Hollis, and I have 2 or 3 other novels I want to complete. And I have to live to be 100 to do it, I guess, but that's my plan.
Hey, Don, you say you don't write very quickly. Do you write freehand still?
Using No, I do it on Microsoft Word on an Apple computer, but I, and of course, it corrects most of the spelling errors and that sort of thing, but I don't know. I just, I have a friend who says he's writing. He said he could write 1,000 words in 5 hours. I don't know whether that'd be very good or not because he hadn't published anything yet. But anyway, I seem to be trudging along, but I do it carefully and all of that.
That's outstanding. All right. Another question. Can you share with us the story behind your newest book, By Means of Peace, and what it signifies for you as an author? So talk a little bit more about that. Get a little deeper dive about your newest book.
All right. 2 years ago, when the midterm election campaign started, I saw how hostile it got, and I thought that most Americans were going to cast their ballots right along party lines, and I thought of the word groupthink, you know, and it popped into my mind. That's when I began to write. But in this novel, it's a two-party system, and I say pretty plainly they divided the country into, I believe I said, 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle so they could manipulate people for votes. But I don't know exactly how this thought popped into my head, but the phrase "by means of peace" is a short passage of scripture from the book of Daniel. The whole thing says, "By means of peace, he shall destroy many." And so that passage is pretty much an outline of this novel. A very charismatic president named Reuben Rogoff. He does the same thing. In that passage in the Bible, a very unique king rises to power, and he does bring peace, but shortly thereafter he turns evil. Well, this is what the president named Reuben Rogoff does in my story. He cures all of our major problems in his first term, but then he turns evil slowly. He has hypnotized the people with his charisma, and so they continue to support him. They don't realize that what's happening until it's too late. So that was how I got the idea, the title anyway, from the book, for the book. So by means of peace, he shall destroy many was the whole phrase, but I just named it By Means of Peace.
Share with us, new writers, or writers who are just getting into it, your writing process. What's your product? Because I know you're passionate. It gets you out of bed, gets you going. What other things do you do to get yourself in the right frame of mind to start writing? Kind of help out newer writers and writers who are trying to figure things out. Go ahead.
I will, because actually, at first, my first novel, I struggled a little bit. And when I was working on it, I did hire a consultant. That's the only one I've ever done that. But I realized And I you can read this in books 100 times, and I did, but I didn't actually put it into practice till I hired somebody and they told me what the book said. And I said, okay, I paid for this, I'm going to do it. But anyway, I think of it as a 3-act play, and it has to have a strong beginning. And that will introduce a problem, or it could be an event, the problem or the upcoming event that has to be attended to. And then your characters, of course, go into the first act of that play. And I'm trying harder, and I hope I'm learning as I go along, to let my characters' actions and their dialogue carry the story so I don't have to write a lot of dry explanation. So that'd be the first chapter. You get your characters and your event or problem. In the middle act, these characters pursue their goals, but of course, they don't get any immediate success. They run into problems and struggle. And then the third stage, you come to the climax and the fall in action and all of that. And at that point, you explain everything, and hopefully it makes sense. But it's really a 3-act play approach, but be sure you develop your characters really well that are going to attack the problem. Now it seems easy for me. I will admit the first time I tried it, I really struggled with it.
You know, I know this book is about political situations. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
What other things do you infuse your creativity and passion? Do you have anything else like pursuing your passion as a storyteller, or is it all political?
No, the three books I have written all have, you would call them all science fiction with some political fiction in there, but I'm getting more progressively toward the political intrigue, but every one of them has, I do call upon my career as a bacteriologist and chemist, because every one of them has some kind of lab scene in it. And I'm trying to get less of that, because writing a lab scene is so easy for me but I have to be careful not to use technical jargon, and then people would immediately throw the book away, you know, so I don't want to read this. So I have to be careful about that.
You know, you said you write that, you put things out. What's up? I can feel your passion in writing. Now, the best part, or the difficult part about writing a book, getting it out there, is the marketing part, going on podcast tours, doing this and that, getting a PR firm. What are your thoughts about that? And give us a little tip to people who sit there haven't done it yet, to how Don is handling the marketing of his books.
The first few, I had some giveaways and advertising on Amazon and even in some magazine, but I'm going to admit right now, Hollis, that is my weak point. And I hired a consultant to tell me how to do this. And this is what we're doing now is one of the things they recommended. So I'm excited about it. This book, it's got the best reviews from Kirkus Review of any book I've ever gotten. And practically as good as any I've ever seen. And, you know, I'm selling only a few along, the reviews that the readers give are very good. So I'm going to pursue this one. In fact, it's taken away from my writing time a little bit. I'm trying to do more marketing like this to get it out there. It doesn't matter how good a book is, or what kind of review Kirkus gives it, or what kind of review your readers on Amazon give it. This world has changed. I know that's so we have to have some more modern ways to get the word out. And so that I'm just beginning to learn how to do it. And this podcast is one of those things.
Well, outstanding. And thank you for coming on the show, because it's very inspirational to have you on, listen to you with your passion and stuff. I'm going to ask you something. It might throw you off right now with the writing and all kind of good stuff. AI, artificial intelligence, is taking a big step forward. Now, I always ask all my authors what they thought about artificial intelligence. Again, you may not even follow that, but artificial intelligence does a lot of my writing for me. I just put in a couple of prompts here and there, and it'll finish my story. Have you thought about that? Have you experienced that? I want you to talk to that.
I have thought about that, but I haven't tried it yet. But interestingly that you mentioned that, because the novel I'm working on now, I have about 18,000 words done, and it is about artificial intelligence. And as And as I said, I'm getting more political, and it's more about how the government's going to use artificial intelligence to control the people, you might say. Yeah. And the title of it is the City on a Microchip. I hadn't written that yet, but that's my next one, City on a Microchip. But that artificial intelligence, I'm going to try to do that more.
That's outstanding. I said, it's so fun to have you and have you speak. People will never know that you're in your 80s, how you speak and your passion. So to me, I think that's wonderful. So it gets me uplifted. You know, me being in my 60s, I'm saying, oh, wait a second. I got a lot of time to go here. I'm going to follow Don. I'm going to write to her in 100. So that's great.
Don't ever stop, Hollis. Just keep going. Just keep going.
That's it. Just keep on going. At this time, sir, tell us, where do we go after the show to learn more about you and get your wonderful books? Where do we go?
You can get it on Amazon, on Ingram Spark. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. They'd have to order it for you. But if you look at Amazon, I got a short biography there. And I do not have a web page because I didn't use it enough. I had one once. But I have quite a bit about myself on Facebook, and on and the other books are there too. So you could read the back blurb on the book and this type of thing. But since I felt that, and the read my readers felt that this was the best book that I'd written, I won't say I'm taking a hiatus from writing on my next novel, but I am going to spend some time working on how to publicize this book and promote it. I certainly thank you for having me on here, because that is a good start.
That's right. That's outstanding. Okay. So you're getting some success in the books. You got readers sitting there saying some great things. When you sit and talk maybe to your PI people, when you sit and kind of think over everything, how are you going to, at the end of the day, how are you going to measure success in what you're doing, your marketing and stuff like that? As an author, what do you feel that? And again, these are questions you may not have been approached by, but I'm trying to get you thinking that success can mean one thing, it can mean another thing. What's your thoughts at the end of the day about success as an author?
It does, and I'm glad you asked that question, because younger people would answer it totally differently. I am comfortably retired, and therefore it's not totally about making money. I'm not making my living for writing. If I was, I'd have to move out of my house and get in a tent. But anyway, it is. My goal is to put out some work there that people enjoy. My primary goal is for the reader to enjoy it. And then in these political things, a little more subliminal, or maybe not as bold at any rate, I would like for them to think a little bit about this great country we live in, and think that, hey, we can't let the government divide us up, manipulate us for votes or whatever. No matter what our identity is, we're all Americans, and that might be the only thing some of us have in common, but we ought to use that to draw us together instead of divide us. But my main goal is the reader to enjoy it. I've done the free book giveaways, and I'm thinking about giving another one. And, you know, I just like to get it in lots of people's hands and feel that they enjoy it. I love to read the reviews. I mean, I'll take a little money if they sell it, but that is not my main goal.
You know, and again, I think this is going to help you, because people like to buy things from people who know, like, and trust. And they see you, and they feel your passion. They can say, oh, I like Don. I like what he's doing, this and that. So I think you're going to move more books just because how passionate you are. Because we don't find many people who are in their 80s as passionate as you are. And that will go a long way. It's just my thought about that and what you're doing. So good for you.
Really, I appreciate that comment. I hope that's right. I feel that it is too. I just want people. I want lots of people to read it and enjoy it. That's my main goal.
Outstanding. Okay, so from your bio stuff that I'm reading, under what circumstance would an American president become a dictator? So we'll go back to the book. Go back to being a little political. Just kind of dive into that. Under what circumstance? Yeah, under what circumstance do you think a president would become a dictator?
That concept makes a good plot for a novel, and I believe it'd be very difficult to pull off today, since our government has the three branches. But the president would have to control all three of the branches to become a dictator, and then I think it still would be unusual, unless there was some catastrophe, something, I would say, that made martial law necessary, maybe a nuclear war, who knows what. So I don't see it happening anytime in the near future that a president could become a dictator. This one did it in my novel because he had so much charisma that people trusted him even after he was taking the freedoms away. And so I don't believe we have any politicians got the kind of charisma that Rubin Rogoff does in my novel.
And that's good. I like that. Okay. Back to another question. As an author, how do you navigate the changing landscape of the publishing industry? And again, you've only been doing it for a few years, so you may not see a lot of the changes, but there's a lot of changes out there when it comes to publishing. And, you know, back in the day, you know, it used to go to the big publishing house. Now you can do things. You can do you can publish your own book. You can do this and that. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that? Has that excited you? Have you dampened you? What's your thoughts on the changing
publishing? It did at first, but what you talked about earlier, I think an author, when I finished my first book, I tried to get an agent, and though I had great reviews from Kirkus, I could not get an agent. But Hollis, I was 80 years old, and if I'd have been an agent, I wouldn't have taken on an 80-year-old guy either. I mean, I just have to say. So I didn't get mad at the agents because they didn't figure I'd live long enough to write another, and I probably. But anyhow, so I realize how much that has changed. But I think that authors that since the landscape has changed so much, I think we have to learn how to publicize a book through what we're doing right here. I don't believe the old school way works anymore. You know, you get an agent, he sells it to one of the big five publishing companies in New York, and hey, everything goes well from there on in, and they publicize it. Now, we have to direct publicity ourselves. That is actually, yep. I did, as I said, I hired a consultant to help me figure this out, and I'm going to keep on doing this kind of thing until I get the sales way up there, or the giveaway way up there. I'm giving some away pretty soon, and we'll let everybody know that wants it, they can have it for free. That would suit me just fine.
Outstanding. You know, this is a conversation, and again, you got me so fired up for the rest of the day and the rest of the week. So I like that. Looking ahead, what are your goals and aspirations for your writing career? And again, I know you mentioned a lot of it already, but is it something else you haven't mentioned that, you know, hey, by next year or a year, another 2 years, you want to see or do what?
You've kind of almost outlined what I'm thinking. I want to put out a book about every 2 years. So the one I'm working on now, it'll take me to the end of next year because I intend to spend some time promoting By Means of Peace. But I'm going to have that one out. And I have another one on the back burner that I want to start. Interestingly, I'll back up a little. About half of the people that reviewed it on Amazon, and I don't even know them, and Kirkus and everybody else wants a sequel to this one. I never even thought of doing that. But I didn't have my mind set right to do that. I jumped in and started the one about AI. So I think I probably made a mistake, but because people were wanting, calling for a sequel, and that probably would have been the thing to do. Although I got my characters in such a big mess, I'm not sure I could get them out.
Right. You know, I want you to give this thought too. I want you to jot this down. Putting stuff on Channel TV or Connect TV. I will add this show to our Channel TV. So people will like to see this. Because they'll love you. They'll fall in love with you. They can love them with your passion. So I want us to put this on our channel network on television, on Roku, so I'll give you more exposure to get you out there and stuff. But think about that as well. Think about putting stuff on the TV because you'll get more people that way.
I jotted that down. I got a notebook here, and I jotted that down. I assure you, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I've had to learn a few new ones in this writing career, and that's what I want to do. I want to publicize this book as much as I can. And as I said, I don't mind giving it away free, but I just want people to read it. I like to write, And I'm writing, for myself in one sense, but I'm writing for an audience who would say, hey, this is a good book. I really enjoyed that. That's my main goal. I'll try to sneak in some of these political things, subliminally or maybe rather blatantly in some cases. But I want them to think as well. But the first goal is they enjoy.
Hey, Don, is there somebody you look up to? Is there a mentor in your writing career? Or have you thought that, I don't know, at my age, I don't need that. But is there a mentor that you look up to?
I don't have one that is a mentor, but I have several authors that I absolutely love, and they're old school ones. I like Philip K. Dick. He's my favorite. Many movies were made, like Blade Runner and Total Recall and Minority Report and things off of Philip K. Dick books. He is my favorite. And Ray Bradbury, Martian Chronicles, Fahrenheit 451. Those are probably my favorite authors. Of course, they're dead now. I study their works, but when I look at how great they could write, I say, I'll never be able to do that. And I know I can't, because few people can, because Martian Chronicles came out in about 1950, and it's been in the bookstore. You could go walk to Barnes & Noble right now, and it's still on the shelf after nearly 75 years. So yeah. I look up to those guys. I study what they do, but I say I don't think I can duplicate it, but I can learn from it.
You can learn from it. And again, today's technology, you never know. You just never, because I think because with the technology, you may not need the skill set as they were, but you can get the word out there and get seen, and you just never know. Like I said, we'll get you on TV and stuff like that. Who knows who will see your work and read your work, because that's what technology does today. It's good to help you get that foot ahead. Okay, sir, we're down to the final comment. Please tell us before we get to the final comment, where do we go after this show to learn more about Don and get his wonderful books?
Okay, you can do it on Amazon. You can do it on Ingram Spark. And those are the two places. And my Facebook page, I have my books there too, and more about me on Facebook. I don't have a website, and I probably need to put one of those up.
Well, we can help you with that if you need some. Just throw me an email. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Okay, so our final comment. Just kind of in closing, kind of give us some insight. Kind of give us some passionate thoughts in closing, would you, sir?
Well, I think that as we age, we need to keep active. And of course, the young people need to keep active too, but I guess I'm talking to the old people there. But the young people, I've always, young people ask me what, about getting ready to go, my grandkids and friends, my grandkids. And I always said, my answer, at first I used to say, you need to be a chemist, because I'm one. but I said, you need to study something you like, but you need to be sure it's something that you can have a career at. In this day and age, colleges offer courses that I didn't hear of, didn't know about when I was in college. So you can major in just about anything. You need to like it, but you need to be able to make a career out of it too. So that's my advice to the young people, and the old people is don't ever lose your zest for life. I'm active in lots of different things, and my family lives close to me. I have a small family, just one son, daughter-in-law, three grandkids. Three grandkids are married. I have five great grandkids. That's one advantage of getting old. So I have a zest for life through my family there, my pride and joy, and through the things I do.
Outstanding. So thank you so much for joining us today. You've just been a wonderful and a pleasure. Talking with you today. Thank you so much. We'll keep in touch, and we'll talk to you real soon, sir. Okay.
All right. That's great. I appreciate you having me on. I thank you very much. It was great fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, isn't that awesome? I said he's in his 80s, and you never know it. If I didn't tell you, he didn't tell you his age, you never know. You know what passion that is, man. He's got me fired up where I don't get out and go run a marathon. So that's the whole thing with life. It's the whole thing about what you want to do. Like you said, have passion, make a career out of it. And when that career is done, start something else. You know, 50 years as a working career, and then he started writing books. And writing books ain't easy. It's not easy at all. And he's got his fourth one, and he's doing more. Every 2 years, he wants to do more. That's great. You know, just looking at different stories online and stuff about what happens with people who get older. And bless his heart that he didn't maybe get depressed because his wife died. So, well, we were sorry for that. But he kept up and he goes, okay, what am I going to do now? And a lot of times, all the people, they sit there, you know, they stay alone. They don't talk to anybody. And then it's just very easy for them to pass away that way because just, you know, everything just, they lose everything. They're not out there. So please be out there. Follow up, check out Don's book. It's awesome. Follow his career. Okay, it's awesome. We're going to have him back in a couple months to stay and talk to him, see how he's doing. Let's finish the music. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Make sure you follow Don Johnson. Follow over his books. Have him tell you a story. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. We'll see you back here on Friday on the Hollis Chapman Show. And as always, I'll see you next time.